So we're going to read together, like I typically like to do. We're going to read it together, and then we'll go back and have a look at it. So read, follow along. I use a New American Standard. If you've got a King James or something else, try to follow along. There we go. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness. I'm sorry. No, I skipped a couple. Let's go back to verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. That takes us back to chapter 3. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from the one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from the many transgressions resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted in justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, a couple key words that pop out here a lot of times that we want to make sure we understand. So justification. Justification basically is a legal term that says there's no legal charge that can stand against you. No legal charge. like unto in a wedding ceremony, a lot of times the one performing the ceremony, before he announces, he will say, if anyone has a charge, has a reason why these two can't get married, let them come forward and bring it forward. Okay? And no one brings anything forward. Here, there's no. If you have been justified, there is no legal charge. Satan will want to accuse all kinds of accusations. The answer is always the blood. There is no legal charge standing. That's what justification means. Righteousness, excuse me, a little bit different. Righteousness is a right relationship. A right relationship. You know, sometimes we have husbands and wives who are estranged from each other. There's a conflict. There's a difficulty. They're not at peace with each other. You have an estranged daughter, and you're just not at peace with her. Neighbors sometimes. Okay, righteousness is talking about that relationship with God, where you have a peace loving relationship with God. That's what righteousness is about. Free gift, of course, is a gift given. It should be something good. Something given or received where no payment or charge or demand is attached to it. No payment or charge is attached to it. If there's an attachment to it, it's not free. Transgression, to cross over the barrier, to cross over something. What's the speed limit on the road? It's 55. If you go 56, you've transgressed. You've crossed over that barrier, right? That's what it's talking about. That's what transgression is about. Abounding. It's overflowing. There no barriers hold it in. It's abounding. Think of David's words, "My cup runneth over." It's overflowing. It's passing, overflowing any containment. And finally, to reign, to have control over. So let's look at it again. Now we're going to look at it a little bit more deeply. So take a look. Follow through. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay, he's talking about the Garden of Eden. If you haven't read that story, go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Talks about it. God gave one law, one command, one speed limit, as it were. Do not touch, eat of the fruit of this tree. And Adam sinned. And what happened? Because Adam sinned, he died. Well, he didn't die immediately. No, he died immediately in the sense that that relationship with God had been broken. God is the source of life. God is the source of life. And death means no life. Death means no life. Okay? So Adam died spiritually in the sense of being cut off from God in that time. Now, I once did an illustration of the God-man and the picture of the God-man. See, when Adam sins, he becomes fouled. He becomes lessened. He has a sin nature now when he takes this on. Okay. Who was the first to sin? It was Eve. But notice, it's not the sin of Eve that brings death. It's the sin of Adam. Why? Because he was the lead. He was the head. So when he sins, he becomes fouled. And I took a jello pan, I think it was, a jello mold of a teddy bear, and I whacked it against the podium and woke up a bunch of people in the back of the room, I tell you. But that mold is now fouled, and every time you make a mold from this, it's fouled, it's fouled, it's fouled. That's what happens from Adam. From Adam, when Adam sinned, he is fouled. He has sin now in his nature. And everyone born of Adam is fouled. And so that's how sin comes into the world. And now you have this repeating sin nature, this repeating sin. You are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. You're fouled by that nature of Adam. And that's why Jesus is not born of Adam. The sin nature is passed on by the male because the male has that authority. The male was given as the authority, the head. Okay. But Eve is the salvation here. You see? Jesus does not have that fouled nature. In his humanity, he doesn't have that. In his deity, he doesn't have the fouled nature. But in his humanity, because he was not born of the seed of Adam, but the seed of Eve, he doesn't have that sin nature. So sin into the world by Adam, and death came because of sin. Remember, when sin is conceived, when sin carries itself out, it brings about death. It brings about death. So sin into the world because of Adam. And all this chapter is Adam and Jesus, Adam and Jesus. So keep an eye on that. Death entered, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay, important. We already covered Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Isaiah, it was written this way. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has gone to his own way. Okay, you sin because you have a sin nature. You sin because you have a sin nature given to you by your parents, given to you by your dad, all the way back to Adam. And death comes because of this. For unto the law, sin was in the world. Okay, you're a Jew, and the law comes in Moses' time. Okay, what about all those people before Moses? They still had sin. Remember Abraham and the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, their sin has reached my nostrils. It's a stink in my nostrils. They still have sin, but sin is not imputed. What does it mean imputed? That imputed or accounted, it's an accounting term meaning putting on either the credit or the charge here. It's tagged to you. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, what does that mean? I mean, now notice it's a lowercase law. Adam had a law. The law was you don't touch of this tree. That was the law. You don't eat of it, you don't touch of it. That was the law. So Adam sinned, And coming off of that, we have sin upon sin upon sin upon sin because of that thing. So sin is still in the world. Sin is still in the world, but you can't tie it unless there's a law you can give to. You know, what's the law? That's what's going on with Trump right now, right? He's in there, and what is the crime here type of thing? I'm not trying to get pro-Trump or anything here. Nevertheless, death reigned. Now, I want you to see that. Death reigned. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, death reigns over you. Death reigns over you. That's what this is saying. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses. Even though no one had sinned in the likeness of Adam, death reigns. And Adam is a type of a Christ. What does that mean? A type, a picture of. Adam is one, is the first Adam, and Jesus is the second Adam. Okay? If you had not received Christ as yours, if you have not taken out and grabbed hold of the salvation God offers you, Adam is still your federal head. He's still your body. That's why you're still under the curse of death. But Jesus comes to be your Adam. He offers to be your Adam, your federal head. Come unto him. So, verse 15. The free gift. Now, you're going to see, that's why I call this the gift of justification. Josh did the blessings of justification. This is the gift of justification. The free gift. You can't be a free gift. By the way, Microsoft had a real problem with me putting free gift in there because they wanted me to shorten it to gift. I mean, what's a gift if it's not free? Nevertheless, a free gift is not like the transgression. We're going to be comparing the transgression and the free gift. For look at the transgression. For if the transgression of the one, many die. The transgression of the one, many die. Much more the grace of God and the gift by that grace. And the gift by that grace is Jesus. The gift by that grace is Jesus. God's grace gives you a gift. It's Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, do you take that gift or don't you take that gift? It's up to you. It's up to you whether you're going to receive that gift. It's a free gift. You don't have to pay for it. It's a free gift. God gives it because of his grace, because of his love for you. God gives the one man, Jesus Christ, and how that gift abounds to the many. The one gift, as it were, of sin and transgression that Adam gives causes all to die. The one gift that God gives causes those to live. And again, the gift is not like that which comes through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, judgment comes because of that transgression. If you're here today and that's all you've got, judgment waits. Judgment waits for you. God doesn't want to judge you. God doesn't want to. That's why he gave his Son. But if you reject, if you refuse, okay, then all you have left is what was given to you by Adam. Judgment, condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from the many transgressions. Look at the world today, the many transgressions. Nevertheless, God gave the gift for justification. For justification. What was justification? Remember, it's a legal term meaning there can be no charge held. Why? Because of the blood. Because of the blood. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. Again, I was in death. I was in death until I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I had death over me. Consider the kingdoms, the kingdom of death and darkness that Jesus enters into and brings that light John talks about, that you may come to the light and he rescue you from the domain of darkness. But you have to take it. You have to receive it. You have to come forward and say, I want this life. I want this gift of God. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance, remember what we said, abundance, abounding, overflowing of grace, and the gift of righteousness, That's a right relationship with God. Where's your position with God? Where's your connection with God? John is resting his head on the breast of Jesus. That's what righteousness is. You have a great relationship with God. God calls you his child. But are you under the kingdom of death, or are you under the kingdom of his beloved Son? So the gift of righteousness will reign in life. You have death reigning, or you have life reigning in you. And it's up to you. God makes it offer to you, but God's not going to force it on you. He's not going to jam it down your throat. But to as many as believed or received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. So then, as through the one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men. We just covered that in John, in Romans chapters 1 through 3. All have sinned. You're a heathen. You're a moral person. You're a Jew. All come under condemnation if they don't receive Jesus. All come under condemnation. Go to church as long as you want, as many churches as you want. It won't get you righteousness. Jesus alone gets you righteousness. So resulted the transgression of the one, Adam, resulted in condemnation to all men. Even so, the one act of righteousness then resulted in justification. Very important to understand. This one act of righteousness is not you receiving Christ. It's the act of Christ on the cross. That's the act, the one act of righteousness that makes it possible. That's the one act of righteousness. And notice this. What does it mean to all men? What does it mean to all men? Does that mean everyone's going to be saved? No. It's available to all. It's available to all. I don't care who you are here today. I don't care how bad your sin was. God says it's available. Are you going to take it? Or are you going to walk away? Okay. Live under death. Live under life. Are you going to take it? God demonstrates his righteousness. Romans 3, 21, 25, 26. God demonstrates his love. Romans 5, 8. The gift of justification. For as through the one man's disobedience, Adam, the many were made sinners, you and I, even so through the obedience of the one, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Okay, what does will be made? Does that mean you're not righteous now if you've received Jesus? No, you're righteous. But the door is still open. The door is still open. There's someone out there still looking to come through the door. But one day the door is going to close. You better get inside. Think about Noah and the ark and all those people ignoring Noah's message. All those people ignoring Noah's message. Not believing it. Where is this judgment? Where is this judgment? Where is this rain you're talking about? But when the door closed, now they see it. And you can imagine Noah inside the ark hearing all the scratching at the door. The door's closed. Make your decision today. Tomorrow may be too late. The law came so that transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So law was given that sin may increase. How transgression may increase. How does that work? We like to have the Ten Commandments up on the wall in the judges' chambers, up in the courtroom. Nothing wrong with that. But understand, the law is not there so that you can be proved righteous. The law is there so that you can see you don't make it. That's important to understand. God wants you to see you don't make it. Oh, I do as good as I can. That's what you're supposed to be doing. But what about this over here? Well, but this, no, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You know, the law is there so you understand, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise be to God, Jesus. But if you don't receive, if you don't reach out and take hold, All you have is Adam and death reigning and a fear of death over you. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. God knew when he gave the law, you know, you tell a child, you know, you leave the cookie jar and you don't say anything, that's one thing. As soon as you tell them, man, they can't wait to cross over. That's what Paul was saying. You know, I didn't understand sin until the law, when I heard thou shalt not covet. Now I find myself coveting. Why? Because that's that sin nature in you that wants to do evil. That's the sin nature in all of us that wants to do evil. And so God sets up that mark here, and man, I can't wait to cross that. That's that sin nature. So God knew that sin was going to go crazy in the days of Noah, in the days we're watching today. God knows. But where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. How is that? Because the grace of God can swallow up the ocean of transgressions. The grace of God can abounds, overflows all the more. We'll get to, I think it's in the next chapter, so shall I continue in sin that grace may abound all the more? Oh, may it never be. We'll get to that. Although transgression increases, God's grace can swallow it all. So, as sin reigned in death, even so grace will reign through the righteousness to eternal life only through Jesus Christ. You know, people like to say there's many ways to God. There's many ways to God. No, there's not. There's only God's way to God. God, if you read chapter 4 of Genesis, God established the cherubim. God established the cherubim out there when after he put Adam and Eve out of the garden, he set the cherubim. The cherubim are always showing the way, the access back to God. That's the way back to God. You want to come to God, you have to pass through the cherubim. You want to come to God, you have to pass through the cherubim. But he also did one other thing. He stationed a flaming sword there. If you're going to come to God, you got to come through the cherubim and you got to deal with that sword. You got to deal with that sword. Are you perfect? Can you handle that sword? Jesus comes to God the right way, and he dealt with the sword in his own body on the cross. He dealt with the sword. And now he turns to his disciples. How do I come to God? No man comes to the Father but through me. Your access to God is Jesus. No other way. There are many ways to Jesus. You know, this person comes to Jesus this way. This person comes to Jesus this way. This one comes to Jesus. There are many ways to Jesus. There's only one way to God the Father, and that's Jesus. And if you want to try to climb up some other way, you're going to have to find the cherubim. You're going to have to deal with a sword. So righteousness reigns, or grace reigns through righteousness, eternal life. Notice when it's talking about the righteousness in this chapter, it's not talking about your state in Christ. Because that's another thing. We have a righteousness in Christ. That's a marvelous thing. But no, he's talking about the righteousness that God demonstrates on the cross. The righteousness. That God does not ignore sin. Otherwise, Satan, all the demons can stand there and say, what was that? What was that? No, he deals with it righteously. So, I want to run through the last few things, and we'll let you out early because we have dinner on the grounds coming up. Justification, no legal standing. Remember, justification is no legal standing. By the way, take a picture. Only attained as a gift. Only attained as a gift of God because of his grace. Only available because of the righteous act of Jesus on the cross. Only attained as a gift. Only available because of the righteous act of Jesus, and only accounted on the basis of faith. Faith in God's word, faith in God's son, faith in the work Jesus did on the cross. These three. You want to receive this grace? You want to receive this grace? It's available because of Jesus on the cross. You want to receive it? It's only accounted to you by faith. It's not anything you can do. It's what you decide today. Am I going to receive? Am I going to believe the Word of God? And am I going to believe the Son of God? And am I going to receive that He died for my sins on the cross, the work of God? Let's close in prayer. Father, I do want to thank you so much for the grace of God that you offer to everyone. Lord, we thank you that you are a righteous God. You are a righteous God, and you demonstrate your righteousness on the cross. That sin was dealt with in your Son. Lord, I do pray that if there be any among us here who has not reached out, has not received this grace offered, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak to them, speak to their heart, that they would decide today to receive Christ as their personal Savior. We thank you now for this time. In Jesus' name.